A young man can turn away from trouble every chance he gets and still be engulfed by the turmoil of his neighborhood. That's what it can be like in the Reed Cook neighborhood of Washington, D.C., a place where a drug crew openly works a central street corner and a misplaced look can bring death. It's where a 17-year-old African-American named Jesse Jean grew up and planned to stay until he was offered a scholarship to attend a private boarding school in Connecticut. Producer Katie Davis followed this teenager, who's her neighbor, during his first year at the Hyde boarding school. She brings us Jesse's story.
As a late August day dwindles, three teenagers lean their bodies against a utility box at 17th and Euclid Streets. They are there every night, and most days for that matter, waiting for cars that slow down. When one does, one of the teenagers gets in and takes a ride around the block. $10 is handed over, a packet of marijuana or cocaine handed back.
Ugly day.
What thing about that, Sally?
Hurry up.
Just a few steps away, on the asphalt playground behind H.D. Cook Elementary School, a dozen boys and girls are waiting for their cousin, Jesse Jean, to show up for his going-away party. They scramble onto the battered monkey bars, and right where the kids flip and hang, nine letters are sprayed onto a wood post.
Rest in peace, Tay. And rest in peace, bye. Rest in peace, Tay.
It say Tay right here. And it say bye right there. You don't know Tay?
I'm the little boy. Where's Tay? Watch
out. This boy used to be from around where he died. Somebody stabbed him.
This boy who used to be from around here, that's a phrase heard all the time at 17th and Euclid Streets, a phrase that usually finishes this way. That boy's dead now, in prison now, on the corner now. Jesse was friends with both Tay and Bai, two friends and two funerals.
At times it could be scary. You can never know what's going to happen. It's like my house is in the middle of everything, so. I grew up there, so it's like I don't know anything else, but I know it's a bad neighborhood. I've seen a lot of things, and I don't want to end up like that.
How do you want to end up?
I can't say that like off the top of my head. I know for sure I don't want to end up like that. I know that for sure.
So when there is a good leaving, a family stays up late, chopping onions for macaroni salad and baking mountains of drumsticks and wings, heaping it onto everyone's plate.
You gonna throw that chicken away? You know I stayed up all night with that chicken. And you gonna throw that chicken away?
Nancy planned this party for her cousin Jesse.
You see, a young black boy like that, it just makes you feel really great. He had a lot of other options, but he chose the right option. He just kept going. And it's like he raised himself. I mean, if you save one like that, that's like saving 1,000.
At first, it seemed like no one was going to make a fuss over Jesse's scholarship to the elite boarding school. Jesse's grandmother, a cafeteria worker who raised him, is very sick and in the hospital. And Jesse's mother and father both died violently when he was only 2. So the party fell to Nancy, who watched Jesse grow up next door, and now tells him, after boarding school, don't come back here. You go straight to college.
I feel that 60% of the kids today, especially in this neighborhood, they gotta get away. Or they'll get swallowed. Hi, sweetheart. Or they will swallow these babies up.
Jesse bypassed that trouble. He found Boy Scouts, basketball, and then the Good Shepherd Teen Learning Center. That's where he met his tutoring team, two women who worked at the White House Office of Management and Budget. They helped Jesse with his homework and taught him how to shake hands and look someone straight in the eye. After tutoring was over, though, Jesse's world contracted, back to his corner, where he kept his eyes to himself. As hard as Jesse tried, the chaos spilled into his life, his future. His grandmother's basement apartment was a hub of drinking and drug use. If he overslept, no one got him up for school. Other days, his grandmother spent his bus fare on lotto tickets. He missed 70% of his 10th grade year. Yet his tutors, Tony Husted and Terry Ellison, persisted. Both women have demanding jobs and families with children. Still, says Tony Husted, they made room for him.
Once you get to know Jesse, you really love him. He's such a loving kid, and
It would have been real easy to dislike the people around him, but somebody did something right. This is a nice kid. It's a kid who has just got a great heart, and great hearts don't come naturally.
The more Tony Husted and Terry Ellison got to know Jesse, the more they worried about his home life.
I just became more and more distressed over the fact that, you know, Jesse's living in this environment that where no one works, no one gets up. You call there, they may know he's there, they may not.
It became clear to us that no kid could live and exist and study and succeed in that kind of environment. And we found ourselves doubting whether he could even pass high school or even live through high school.
That's when the idea of boarding school surfaced. Get Jesse away from his neighborhood, his house. The D.C. public school that Jesse was enrolled in had a sister school in Connecticut, Hyde Boarding School. With all his absences, though, Jesse was failing 10th grade. It seemed impossible that a private school would admit him, much less offer a scholarship to help with the $28,000 tuition. That's exactly, though, what Hyde School did. His tutors vowed to raise the rest. Jesse said, "I won't go." His tutors begged. No was Jesse's answer. No, no, no. After weeks of this, weeks, he finally said, "Okay, I'll try it."
Just by going, you're providing a huge opportunity to a lot of other these boys all around here. You don't realize it, but you're opening huge doors for them. And so just take that seriously.
So that's where we find 17-year-old Jesse Jean this late August day, 2001, dreading this new boarding school and sick of the corner he grew up on.
Well, I didn't really decide. I just looked at it as something that I needed to do because it wasn't, by me leaving here, I wasn't missing anything here. So I was like, I might as well have anything to lose.
Jesse slips away before many of his relatives arrive at the party. He'll spend this last night at Tony's, his tutor's house, where he still has to pack the school clothes she bought him, his first blazer, the button-down shirts, and the ties that the salesman taught him how to tie, his first ties ever.
He's gone. Why didn't
Alifa
see him either?
Well, Alifa.
She just pulled up.
Well, and your grandmother didn't see him, and your other aunt didn't see him. Just put all the money in the car.
Drive 10 hours north to rural Connecticut. Slow down on the last stretch, on Route 169. Wild turkeys huddled by stone walls, walls wedged together just after the American Revolution. The world is wide here. Farms and old homes surrounded by acres and acres, cows and horses bowing over fields. The animals in Woodstock, Connecticut might crowd you, never the neighbors. In the middle of a clearing, Hyde School appears.
Thinking of you.
Hiya, Corey.
Girls and boys jostle through the double doors and hallways. No metal detectors, no security guards. Making their way to biology lab, algebra, and American history class.
The Boston Massacre, right? Was it really a massacre?
No.
Okay. It was kind of exaggerated to try and...
It's November, and Jesse has been at boarding school for 2 months now. He's learned to use his Palm Pilot, which is required, and he now knows that a shotgun blast can be ignored, that it's just duck hunters. He must go to discovery meetings where students talk about problems such as drugs, nothing new, and bulimia, something Jesse's never heard of. 6 days a week he has classes. Every afternoon he has sports. And he loves that his team has real uniforms and real pads.
Rainbow 19! Rainbow 19!
Excellent, here we go.
Jesse is starting quarterback for junior varsity. And he calls the plays and leads the practices. His roommate is white. Most kids here are white. There are 243 students and 21 blacks on campus. Mostly, Jesse hates how every minute is structured, TV and video games restricted. He slogs through the days, resentful. I mean, he grumps, "Why shouldn't I be able to watch the NBA?" In the middle of this swirl, Jesse hears from home. His grandmother is slipping into a coma. His tutors fly Jesse back to Washington and drive him straight to the hospital. He takes his grandmother a picture of himself in his Hyde football uniform, and she responds. The next day, Jesse's grandmother, his only guardian, dies.
To sit back and feel bad for him doesn't do any good. I'm not saying it cold-heartedly, but there's a lot of kids with sad stories that go to school here also.
Sit with Associate Dean Don McMillan, one of the people at Hyde who pushed for Jesse's admission and scholarship.
He needed an opportunity. If we didn't kind of push for this, what was going to happen to him? I thought his world could get pretty small. And he would lose, and I think the people around him would really lose, because I think the guy's really got something to him. Okay, here we are.
Don McMillan leads the way to Jesse's third period English class,
this has been
a remedial class for writing and reading skills.
I just talked to the teacher, said, hey, what's going on? He said he was just getting into it with Jesse. So they're upstairs. If you want to take a listen, go ahead.
This is the last class before exams. Where are we going to go?
Five students face the dean of students as their teacher describes their disruptive behavior and singles Jesse out as the leader, not just on this day, but all fall.
You know, we're supposed to spend today going over our writing, getting ready for the exam. Where are we going from here? Jesse?
It's obvious that we need to have at least some class time or something. So
Jesse is slumped in a chair, his tie flipped over his shoulder, his chin buried in his chest.
I know I'll come during break because I don't have anything
to do. But
when Jesse suggests making up the time during a rare free period, the other kids agree. A small window into Hyde's philosophy that kids should take responsibility for their own education. The students file back to class, Jesse leading the way, muttering about how the teacher is retarded. When asked to read, though, Jesse pulls out his handwritten essay.
The title of mine is Life Away From Home. Knock, knock, wake up. I'm finally awakened from a loving dream in which I'm free of being at this place. I open my eyes. It's 6 o'clock a.m.
Jesse is working harder than he's ever worked in his life. Here are what he calls the heroics of the day. Get up, do two chores, get into formal dress, which Jesse pulls off with flair. First class is at 8 a.m., followed by three more classes, then sports, dinner, and evening study until lights out at 10 p.m. Jesse is doing all that, and still the consensus among his teachers is that he's holding back. English teacher Tom Salter.
Jesse hasn't decided, you know, I'm really going to go after this. He hasn't decided, you know, I don't care if it's English, I don't care if it's football, I am a learner. I mean, he's doing what he needs to do to get by.
No one at Hyde is suggesting that Jesse won't be able to make it here. Not yet. They say the first year is often teaching kids how to learn, to discover their abilities. They say that Jesse has the natural gifts of a leader, that he can set the mood in every class. All this leadership stuff, all these people out to improve him, it just makes Jesse groan.
People like that get under my skin. And I don't know why, but it's just people like that cause me to react a certain way.
People like what? Like what got under your skin?
It's like making it seem like I'm the golden child of the class, or I want it both ways. Like I want to joke around and then I always want to be serious. And I'm like, that's not me at all.
Do you feel like you're changing?
Well, I know I'm changing. It's like right here doing this interview, I mean, I know I'm like well-spoken for and everything like that. I know I'm changing. It's just like, it's crazy at times. It's like they're changing you. It may not be the way that you want to change, but you're changing. It's like they give you like this big old plate and they just keep on overloading it.
By the end of the first grading semester, Jesse has failed history and has D's in his four other classes. Hyde School puts him on watch study hall. Back home, Tony, Jesse's tutor, is worried an opportunity might be slipping away.
He can't flunk this year. I mean, for his own good, how long is he going to stay in high school? I mean, he'll be 18 and going into the 11th grade, 19 going into the 12th grade. Will he go into the 12th grade at the age of 20? I mean, we're really worried about all of this.
Tony is also anxious about where Jesse is going to live during vacations, now that his grandmother is gone. He could move in with his aunt, but she has 10 children and lives on that corner. Tony and her husband have urged Jesse to live with them in Old Town Alexandria, Virginia, just across the Potomac River, in a neighborhood with old cobblestones, on a street that's serene, in a townhouse with a room waiting for Jesse.
We said that if he likes the setup, then we'll get him a desk and take these down and put his own pictures on the wall and get rid of some of this stuff.
Tony has hired a lawyer and petitioned the District of Columbia to become Jesse's legal guardian. When she told Jesse that, he was silent, but did not say no. No one in Jesse's family filed custody papers. Still, when winter break arrives in mid-December, Tony finds herself picking Jesse up at the airport, unsure. Will he choose to go to his aunt's house or hers? In the car, Jesse asks, "So, where are we going?" "How about my house?" Tony suggests. And after a silence, Jesse agrees. No discussion, just an okay. A big decision made quietly, which is Jesse's way.
Oh, man.
Are they gonna kick off?
Man, can you stop the ball? Yes or no? God, you gonna keep calling time on and stuff? Can we play the game?
A few days before Christmas, Jesse invites an old friend, Jeremiah, to spend the night at his new home in Old Town Alexandria. The next morning, they're sunk down in brown leather chairs, quilts over their legs, playing video football. While Jesse is clearly comfortable here, he says he finds himself coming and going a lot, heading into his old neighborhood for a haircut and to play ball, then back to Tony's for a home-cooked dinner.
When I'm here, I want to go there so I can see everyone and everything. Like, when I'm over there, I want to come back here so I can, like, you know, it's like back and mixed feelings back and forth.
What are some of the mixed feelings?
Like, Tony and her husband, they don't talk like I talk, so I'll have to, like, adjust my speaking to, like, proper. But, I still act the same, though. They still don't talk like how we talk around 17th Street. But, yeah, besides that minor adjustment, I don't know.
When you're here in Alexandria and you're in this house, do you ever feel like I just need to be around some black people?
No, not at all, because it's like, I mean, if I ever happen to feel like that, I mean, I could tell them I want to go and they'll let me go. I mean, it's not like I'm in prison or anything. But I rarely feel like that at all.
It's April, and a light breeze ruffles the new green and tugs at everyone to stay outside. 1 p.m. is time for drama class, and students slouch into the dim theater to sit on the stage for warm-ups. Jesse hums and stretches his legs. He's grown an inch, probably two, as if it's finally safe to grow. A 6'3" sophomore. The spring play at Hyde is Little Shop of Horrors, and Jesse is playing Audrey II, the wilting, starved plant that comes to life when fed, a bit like Jesse Jean this year. Jesse has tried out so many things this year. He painted an arresting self-portrait in art class, half shadow, half light, his ambivalence swirling in acrylic. He was awarded a medal for most valuable player in JV basketball. And these days, he's actually excited about history, pressing for details about the Civil War and the Fugitive Slave Act. Jesse's complaining has been replaced by a gentle mocking of the school's formality. He calls other students Mr. and Miss, and in return, he is known as Mr. Jean. He's also becoming known as a student who will share some of his painful childhood, one-on-one, if it will help another student.
Yeah, well, like, being at this school, it's opened my eyes to a lot of things. Like, it like, forces you to mature. That's one of the, you know, that's one of the things I actually like about this school. It forces you to take a look at yourself and then take a look at life. And it's people around here to help you understand, you know, the everyday struggles and everyday positive things of life. So I just found myself maturing a lot up here than I would in back in D.C. or whatnot. And I just found myself, you know, just relating to people and getting out to people, trying something new, basically. And, you know, going into it with an open mind.
So Jesse is known at Hyde, and that might be the biggest change this year. He has allowed himself to become known, not in all ways, but in some. He is no longer silent, slipping through the halls like a trespasser. In late April, Jesse is failing algebra, still cutting up in English, and behind on a history term paper. But Associate Dean Don McMillan says that's about where I expect him to be. Hyde will push him, and he'll keep pushing himself.
You know, the kid knows how to bounce back and just kind of stick with it. And I think being here has helped him because there is consistency. I mean, one thing I asked Jesse a while ago is school a little bit easier when you have to go to school every day. And he goes, yeah, I know what's going on a lot more. It's a little bit more interesting.
Teachers at Hyde can see a clear future for Jesse as a powerful leader, a solid student, and a star athlete. Jesse, though, still finds himself catching his breath from the distance he has sprinted, from sleeping away his school days to studying at a prep school where 98% of the students go on to college. Hyde School has already invited Jesse back for next year, and this time his decision came easily.
I was just like, I have to come back here next year. I was just like, I have to. Because if I stay at home, no matter if I don't do drugs or if I attend school, eventually, sooner or later, my life is going to take a downward spiral. So I was just like, it's not always where I want to be. You know, I'm not always happy to be here, but it's where I need to be. And I came to that realization, and I was like, I just need to come back. So here I am.
Jesse says the one thing he's always been able to do is to see things for what they are, to see the whole picture. And just lately, he's beginning to try out his ability to imagine how things might be, imagine the many different ways his life might unfold.
Katie Davis is a Washington, D.C. writer and producer of the ongoing series Neighborhood Stories. To learn more about Jesse Jean and the Hyde School, check out our website, npr.org.